head to Dover shortly to Leg Hall. Can we adjust the agenda to bring him forward first?
Certainly, Mr. Godwin, step right on up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of council. I will try to bring you up to date over the last week on the legislative issues that we've been interested in. I will first hand out a revised update from the one I gave you on Friday. This new version will show a change that happened Friday afternoon to one of the bills that we're interested in. It was reassigned from one committee to another by the Speaker of the House, and I wanted to
thank you, sir.
Update you on that before I start explaining what's going on.
On Friday afternoon? Mm-hmm. You say Friday, Hal?
The change was made Friday. I was made aware of it late Friday after your package already left.
I didn't know there was in session.
They don't have to be in session for the Speaker to move bills.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah.
What happened essentially is House Bill 74, the one that we discussed last week that pertains to a statewide health insurance program, the reason why I wasn't getting any traction attempting to contact Byron Short, the chairman of the, he is the chairman of the Economic Development, Banking, Insurance, and Commerce Committee, is because the bill had been reassigned. I didn't know that until Friday afternoon. The bill was reassigned to the House Health and Human Development Committee, and they will not be meeting tomorrow for a hearing, so therefore our bill will not be open to the public for a hearing tomorrow in Legislative Hall. But I have provided you, because you asked me last week for names and addresses of the committee members, what I just handed you has that information for the new committee. Just late Friday afternoon and yesterday, Kelly Collins went through the trouble of redoing this for me. So what we have now are the committee members of the House Health and Human Development Committee. That's where our bill is. I've provided for you the committee members' names, their home phone numbers, and their email addresses, so you can study the bill and make comments directly to them. Again, the bill is not scheduled for a public hearing yet, so that's a good or bad thing, however you view that.
If I understand correctly, the state cannot pass this if the federal government already has its plan. How can the state prevail over the federal government's health plan? I don't know. Well, okay.
I don't know, Mrs. Deaver. I'm sorry.
Okay. Just curious.
Now, let's see. On an update.
Can you find that out for next week if this thing is still around? That's a good question by Ms. Deaver.
I think okay. So, too. Good question.
Okay. Back to my list. House Bill 44 has passed the House. That's the bill giving the right to display an American flag at your will, pretty much. That bill received one amendment last week, and then was passed through the House. Two bills that I wanted to bring your attention to do not have bill numbers yet because they haven't been introduced. They're on your second page. Below House Bill 63, I've identified the first one as Senate Bill No Number. This Senate bill requires residents 65 years of age to be allowed to continue to get their tax discount for their age, even if they are somewhat delinquent, provided they have engaged in a payment plan. That's what this law would provide throughout the state. We already do that, so we're already in compliance with that law if it were to become adopted. The second one under it, Senate Bill No Number, this bill provides for property tax exemptions for the dwelling of a military veteran who are disabled and their spouses if the veteran is deceased. Both of these bills have been, they haven't been introduced, but they have been drafted and promoted around the Senate chamber by Senator Peterson, and she's asked for our comments on both bills. So I would ask you to examine these bills carefully and then give me, or you can give directly to Senator Peterson, your thoughts on the bill. The veteran handicapped bill, I can tell you how we handle that in-house, and it's relatively close to what this law would do if, in fact, it were adopted by the state. Currently, it's our practice. I can read some of these items to you in our policy qualifications for disability exemptions. We do not mention veterans in our exemptions, but we do very definitely address disabled persons. Those persons who meet the following requirements should file an application with the Assessment Division by April 30 of this year. And I'll read you the qualifications. The first one is the applicant has been a full-time resident in Sussex County for at least 5 full years immediately preceding the application. Number two, the applicant is the owner of the real property and the dwelling for which such exemption is claimed. Number three, the applicant resides in said dwelling. Number four, the applicant can be exempt only on property on which he or she lives, so it wouldn't apply to investors. The applicant's income is not in excess of $6,000, or in the event of marriage or civil union, the combined income of husband and wife is not in excess of $7,500. So it's very definitely aimed at low-income folks. This is our current policy. Income in number five, the one I just read above, shall not include Social Security benefits or railroad retirement benefits, which means that those dollars I read you would be separate from retirement income through Social Security. So they have Social Security and $6,000 of more income and still qualify. Proof of income, federal income tax forms. The applicant is totally disabled and has secured the signature of a medical doctor in support of such claim, and a person shall be considered totally disabled who, as a result of an accident, injury, or disease, shall permanently be physically prevented from pursuing any occupation. So basically, those are the requirements that we have currently for persons over 65, I'm sorry, persons who are disabled, how we will reduce their taxes. Now, if they meet that criteria, the way we abate their taxes is we reduce their property assessment on this primary residence by $12,500. That's not the value, that's the assessment. And as you know, in many cases, our assessment values are much, much, much lower than the appraised value of the property. So those are things we currently do already. In the bill that Senator Peterson is promoting, it incorporates a lot of language about the veteran. But of course, we're already in there because the veteran has to be disabled. So really what you'd be looking at is how her bill lines up with our disabled qualifications. So I would ask you to read through that bill and make a comparison and then either respond to myself or to Senator Peterson as to what your thoughts are, or to Dodd, of course.
Does that apply to school taxes?
I believe it just applies to our taxes.
Oh, county only?
I believe it's just the county taxes.
Not the school taxes.
Well, I'm not certain. It says Sussex County qualifications for disability exemptions, and this is from our assessment division. So I don't believe this has a bearing on school taxes.
Ours or Karen Peterson? I'm interested in Karen.
Oh, Karen Peterson's would. Another good question. I'm not certain. I'd have to read through it again, because I wasn't looking for school taxes when I read the bill.
I'm a little hesitant to support hers because we're somewhat ceding county authority over to the state if we support it. Almost seems like something that we should tackle ourselves. I'm all in favor of giving those veterans the benefit, but we wouldn't be able to cut their school taxes, is why I ask.
Correct.
It may be something, if the council would agree, that we could let staff put together an ordinance for the county portion of that tax, and we could consider it here regardless of what Karen Peterson does.
No, I agree. I think that, you know, giving tax exemptions from Sussex County property tax ought to be our job, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that should be our response, maybe, that we feel that this bill, we're not opposed to the bill, we're not opposed to the intent, but we would, you know, we need to do it here.
Well, let's start doing it, because I'd like to have that at least almost done before she gets too much traction.
Mm-hmm. And if ours should include school tax, we're done.
No, we can't include school tax.
We cannot?
We can't. No,
okay,
we can't.
Well, I'm just saying that ours is pretty
It's
good.
Not mentioned in her bill. The school tax, that's why I couldn't remember. It's not mentioned.
It doesn't
the opening. The opening paragraph in her bill says every person, a resident of the state who is eligible, who is an eligible disabled veteran until its military service residing in a dwelling house owned by the person which is a constituent part of the property's real property, shall be entitled or proper claim be made, therefore, to exemption from taxation on the real property.
It's everything, then.
Nothing in this subchapter shall be construed to apply to ditch taxes or sewer taxes. So I guess it's taking school taxes out, too, if you're talking about use that in a general term, taxations on the property.
So it's just targeted county property taxes. Just make that bill.
Her bill is
ours bill. Does. I think hers probably goes to school taxes,
yes.
too. It's not mentioned.
Sure.
It just says taxation on real property.
Well, I agree with Vance. I think it's something we ought to be doing, you know, at the local level. I don't think there's.
Mr. Walston, can you have that worked on expeditiously here by your staff? Bring that back as soon as you can.
We will do that.
I like what we're doing now, anyway.
Okay. You have a copy of House Bill 74, the health care bill. I told you about it being moved from one committee to another. And I'm sure there will not be a hearing on that bill this week. I would like to speak with the committee chair to find out what his intentions are about a public hearing. Sometimes committee chairs like to delay a public hearing and create allow time for input to the committee from constituents before that. So I'm not sure how they're going to do that, but I will keep an eye on that. And as soon as there's a hearing date set for that bill, I'll be sure to make sure you're aware of that. The one final thing that I wanted to bring to your attention is that the final report from the Animal Welfare Task Force, which I'd already given you the report itself, the deadline for comments was yesterday. I sent in some comments. The only comments I sent in where I made one correction in the minutes, where the secretary hadn't recorded the minutes correctly in regard to cat licensing. I corrected that. And I also made the comment I'll read you my comments. Thank you for allowing time for us to comment on the draft report. The last line at the bottom of page 14 says, quote, no consensus was reached by the task force on cat licensing, unquote. My notes show that we as a group decided not to include cats in the licensing process. I believe we did come to consensus not to. Can you please check on this? That was my note about correcting the minutes. The next thought that I shared with them is opinion I have gotten from you all along through this entire process. Can you please add that as for Sussex County government, we want the state of Delaware to take dog licensing and controls back because it is clearly an unfunded mandate. Since this change in 2010, Sussex County is responsible for the costs to administer a program that Sussex County government does not have the ability to set the standards for. Thank you, Hal Godman. Those are the comments I made. So that was, I sent them in. They went in last week. I don't know if they'll incorporate them or not, but this final report will be out the 30th of this month. And the important part about that is as soon as that comes out, I'm sure Senator Blevins will be introducing legislation in the Senate to put in place some of the features of this report.
It's highly emotional and can cost a fortune.
Oh, yes. And that concludes my report. And if you have any questions, don't feel
free. Mr. Godwin.
Yeah. So you started off here, you said the House bill numbers, and then you said this act, the first leg constitutional amendment that will remove office of clerk's fees from state constitution, remove the requirement elected the clerk's other fees. Sorry for our discussion. I didn't hear you say anything about
I haven't mentioned that bill, Mr. Wilson, because that bill is not gathering any support that I can see. What I told you last week about that bill was that I thought that it was diminishing in support, but I was still keeping an eye on
it. I need to hear that. It's not going anywhere. Okay, how about House Bill 63? That's the first leg of the Constitution Amendment that forever guarantees the right of farmers to engage in modern
farming. That bill is currently on the House ready list, but it is not on today's agenda. So it's been through committee, and it is on the House's ready list, as noted in my report.
Can you help remind me what the synopsis of that bill is?
It was attached to your... It's a constitutional amendment that would afford farmers the right to always have the privilege to farm without any government restriction as far as...
I thought we already had that, didn't we? Didn't we have that on there?
It's not. It's not a constitutional amendment, I don't think.
Well, it's not. No, it's just. It's just. Well, in, get a deed today. Says you have no complaints about any kind of odor or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That you
right.
Can, that you can't fool farmers. Well, if you sell a piece of farm, isn't that true?
Well, we do have something placed on deeds in rural areas that is a notice to those folks that they are moving into an agriculture area and they should expect odors and other farming activities that could create a nuisance to them. I'm confused like you are on what this bill actually does.
I'm glad
maybe
it's
you're
not just
confused,
me.
But I don't understand
exactly
what it does.
I can read to you from the bill if you'd like, sir.
Sure, go ahead.
Under right to engage in agricultural, the wording in the bill is the right of farmers and ranchers to engage in modern farming and ranching practices shall be forever guaranteed in this state.
Okay,
no law shall be.
What are those modern farming practices that are coming under?
That's 100 bucks.
I don't have that information. It says no law shall be enacted which abridges the right of farmers and ranchers to employ agricultural technology, modern livestock production, and ranching practices. It's very brief.
It knocks out the Amish, doesn't it? It says modern farming. Looks like the mule's out. The tractor's in.
Ever, as an attorney, how would you interpret that? What actually are the farmers?
It seems extremely vague to me, and that I would almost characterize it as someone introducing something because it sounded good. You know, I just don't understand exactly what it's attempting to do because it's so vague. As you properly noted, there is legislation that's on the books now concerning if people move into an ag area. And without anything specific in here, it's hard to define it.
Maybe we're having so much trouble, like the Hudsons, are having so much trouble with EPA and environmental people, maybe they're going to include them in there too, that they're going to let them know that we have the right to farm.
I mean, isn't there protections for farmers right now in Sussex County? As well as other counties. I mean, in the
one.
State. I mean, is there an issue out there that they're not being protected? I don't know.
Well,
I think what we have buffers. We have all these things.
If you get a deed, it says so. You
right.
Can't complain
that's
about.
So I think it's a waste of time. So
you
I
can't
I don't
complain
know.
About crops, rain, or none of these things. So I don't even know why this.
You can talk to the sponsor. Who is the sponsor?
John Atkins.
Well, is he a farmer nowadays? Does he know anything about farming?
I'm not sure.
He does, a lot of good talking.
I think the Farm Bureau supports it. We can't. Again, I think Everett hit the nail on the head. It sounds good. It feels good. But maybe you could talk to Mr. Atkins and see if
that.
There's a specific incident that is driving this.
Yeah.
It would be nice to know. It'd be nice to know what it's supposed to be.
What the problem is. Clue is.
Will do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. And not for you, but for Mrs. Jennings. This whole health issue, this bill. I think we would talk last week, but make sure you have everything on our side put together so we can submit that to the committee.
Absolutely.
And we'll be there. You'll be there to testify if that's the case, if it needs to be. Okay.
Yes. And just to answer your question earlier, the way I view it is the federal law is telling us that we have to give affordable health care. The state is coming up with a means to provide the affordable health care.
We can do that.
Okay.
Our own way.
Yeah. Okay, so that's, if the state didn't come up with it, we'd fall under some federal regime?
No, we can come up with our own. We would do what we've been doing, making sure that we provide the right health care under the federal law. But if the state says, here's what you're going to use, we've come up with the affordable way, then we would go under the state plan. So that's
single
how it
payer is so much different than what the Fed is talking about.
Right. It's different. Mm-hmm. The federal is telling you that we need to have these kind of coverages, and this is the amount that we can pay, and then the state's coming up with a means for that.
Now, when you say we, you're talking about the county.
Mm-hmm. The county.
How about employees out in the county or employers out in the county?
Right. They would come up with, just like the county would have to, a plan on how to meet those 9.5% gross income levels, which is about 95% is all they can charge their employees. If they do not provide that, then the employee can go to the exchanges that are supposed to be provided by the state, and then they would get fined because the employee went out to the exchange to get the affordable health care.
Now, we're not responsible to enforce that, are we?
No, we don't have to enforce the federal.
About the employers outside?
No, we would not be responsible to enforce that.
Is there anything that we could offer to employers in the county to help them create a system similar to what you have done here for the county?
We've created a network that, and the employers are allowed to go into the same network that we have through Integra. So Integra is building this network, this HPN network, and employers can use the same network that we have as well.
Okay, that is exactly what I was looking for. So any employers in the county who are struggling to come up with a system could piggyback, in a sense, on the same
system that we've got. Right, it's like but we've chose to be self-funded, so we just pay the claims, so we have a network. Blue Cross Blue Shield has their own network. So we kind of go out and we shop which is best for the county. So they can also, as Integra is our third-party administrator, coming up with these networks for us, they have that same opportunity.
So an employer would call Integra if they wanted help.
Correct, yes.
The only thing I can see out of this, when the Fed came up with the healthcare program, it was going to save money, and of course it's not. Now the state in this thing says it's going to save money, and you know it won't.
Yep.
We're probably better off if we can do it ourselves here in Sussex County. So I would just say we're probably better off trying to stay away from this a state program and letting us create our own.
Amen.
So I would think that the council might want to consider taking that position on this legislation. We've been successful, and you keep it closer to home, we'll be more successful. We can deal with the problems, but as soon as it says it'll save money, you know it won't.
So. I hear single payer all the time. I don't know. Don't know.
No, I'm not an expert either. I just know
what
I've been able to absorb.
We'll now back up to Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Very brief administrator's report today. Please be advised, in 2 weeks, the county libraries will close on Thursday, May 9th, 2013, to allow staff to attend the annual Delaware Library Maryland Library Association Conference in Ocean City, Maryland. The conference provides library staff the opportunity to receive a multi-state perspective and expanded view of collaboration and partnering in additional subject-specific learning. County libraries will reopen at the regular time on Friday, May 10th.
And Todd, that town goes wild when you get that many librarians in a beach resort. It's just like Las Vegas. They're going crazy.
Mr. Izzo, would you come down, please, sir?
Yeah. It's a sight to behold.
Lord.
Good morning. I have two
Don't
items on my agenda, but I believe I can be rather brief as well.
Okay, sir.
The first is in reference to a proposed lease with the Delaware Solid Waste Authority. This is for an existing solid waste transfer station that's on site at our Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility. It's been there since 1993. It's been operated without incident. However, the lease that we executed in 1993 did not contain any provisions for extending the lease. So we had to create a new lease. It will be in place for another 20 years, but after 20 years, it has a provision that it could be extended for an additional 20 years. Again, it's been operated for quite some time without incident, and I would recommend that we approve the lease.
You have a motion?
Yes. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the Sussex County Council approves the lease agreement with the Delaware Solid Waste Authority to continue operating a solid waste collection station at the site of the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, okay. Sir.
The second is a proposed bid award. It's the final contract for the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. We had five or six homes that we could not serve via conventional gravity system. We've set up a grinder pump system to serve the homes. Also, during the construction of Angola, we took over a private sewer system. That sewer system needs some upgrades to the pump stations and collection station. We had four bidders on the contract. The engineer's estimate was $173,000. Harry Caswell, Millsboro, Delaware, was the low bidder at $137,706, and I recommend that bid award, and I have a motion that I can read.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Project Number 11-11, Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District, Angola Beach Road Grinder Pump System, and Villages of Herring Creek Improvements be awarded to Harry Caswell, Inc. of Millsboro, Delaware at the bid amount of $137,706, contingent upon receipt of approval from the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control and or the Rural Utility Service.
Is that motion?
Question. Okay.
Yeah. Motion, Mr. Phillips, second.
Second.
Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah.
Question, Mr. Wilson.
Now that's going to cost us roughly about a $35,000 per home. How much are these individuals going to pay for
that? Most of the grinder pump system represents about $50,000 of the cost. Yep. We have about $70,000 of the cost is to upgrade the Villages of Herring Creek, which is an existing subdivision. Last time I checked, there were about 29 homes, and it's got about 75 to 80 total lots.
So I misunderstood you. I thought you said there's going to be five new homes for 137.
There's approximately six lots that are going to be served by the grinder pump system.
I do have
four of which have existing homes.
It's expensive. And
two vehicles.
Yeah, refresh my memory. The grinder pumps, I got a property that has a grinder pump in another location, and the grinder pump's my responsibility as a homeowner. In this case, the Sussex County, we own the grinder pump because you can only put certain things in these grinder pumps. They're not like the gravity where everything you go in there goes somewhere. Here, I had somebody throw something in my, system and it messed up the grinder pump, which is only like a year old, and it was a $3,000 to replace it.
Right.
Why are we not maybe putting the grinder pump and maybe looking at a different formula, but putting this grinder pump? Because the homeowner's got a certain responsibility of what goes in this type of system versus other types of systems.
We are going to install the grinder pump. We will operate and maintain the grinder pump. These are industrial strength. Normally what we do is we have a tank and we have certain cores. And when we experience problems with these cores, we basically pull an extra core that we have on in stock, go out, drop it in, and then we take the core that was damaged back to the shop and we repair it at our leisure, so service is continued. We do not prefer to do a lot of grinder pumps for the reasons that
exactly.
You cited, but in this case, the lots are very large, in excess of 2 to 3 acres. They're all in a line. And it's just much more economical to install the grinder pump system. But
I don't question that, Mike. It's okay. Just the idea that maybe way the ordinance is, maybe we should amend our ordinance. It's that when we provide somebody with a grinder pump, that the grinder pump, or a certain part of it, is going to be the homeowner's responsibility.
In this case, we do connect the grinder pump to the home electric system, so the electric to run the pump is on the homeowner's nickel. We don't prefer them.
I agree with George. I think that guy's going. If them people's going to cause that big expense, that should be some of their responsibility that hooks into that line.
Well, as a homeowner, when I'm there, I know what can go in and out in the system. But then if I had guests and the guests had a party, and the next thing you know, something was in there that didn't belong. I'm not going to say what it was, but it took a while. But it just tightened, tore it right up, burned it up. So then everything comes to a halt, and then I said that, so it was my personal responsibility. So again, I just questioned whether, I don't know how many grinder pumps we have in this county now, but they're growing. And it's not cheap.
Geez, I don't know the number, but for example, in Angola, this is the only six out of 1,500 new users. In Ellendale, we did employ more grinder pumps.
See, I would rather, Mike, maybe look at a different way of billing these people. If you end up with a grinder pump, here's what happens versus the other person. Maybe you relax front footage charges, sure. Relax this, relax that. But then the burden, because there's a certain responsibility of the homeowner of what they need and what they can't and put in to these systems.
That's correct.
Question.
We're going into the grinder.
Just thought I'd bring it up.
In this case, we have six that we're going to serve, and I don't think we have any others in the whole.
But in every district,
we have some.
Every district, we have some grinder pumps. Because of awkward spots to get to.
Yeah, it is. It's out on the pulling or have a bridge or a ditch that you have to get under. Okay, we'll look into that.
Yeah, it's just a thought, because I've experienced it. I'm very
questions
conscious of.
I think you're on the right track, George. We need to do that. I really do.
Glad to see you're agreeing with me today.
If not, we'll take the vote.
Well, you're right. I either do.
Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. We'll now move to grant request, Mrs. Jenkins.